In the precious name of Jesus, who is the ruler, the creator of all things, who by his goodness and grace gives us all that he knows that we need to support this body and life. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. I'd like for you to take out your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Luke chapter 12. My hope is that week after week, as I remind you of that, that you are in fact bringing your Bibles with you. And if your Bibles are not like my old Bible, but one on a handheld device, that certainly is a fine thing too. I encourage you to bring your Bibles. And some folks have told me they've actually started taking some notes from the sermon in their Bible. Can you imagine that? Lutherans doing something different. I hope you will. Luke chapter 12. Our sermon title for today is Rich in Things, Foolish in Faith. I don't know if you came to church tonight thinking that there was going to be a stewardship sermon or not, but guess what? There is, because that's the text from God's Word. Most of the time, we've kind of thought that stewardship is something that we do generally in the fall sometime. You know, as we get closer to Christmas, that's often a time in many of our churches where a stewardship theme comes out. But hopefully, as members of Holy Cross, or even as frequent visitors here, you recognize that we talk about stewardship all year long, because stewards is what we are. God calls us, who are rich in things, to be wise in our faith, in our faithful use of these things. We're faithful in the use of God's Word, and that's why we say to those of you who are visitors, if you're a visitor tonight and don't have a Bible at home, we encourage you to take one of these pew Bibles as our gift to you so that you can read and study God's Word. The first image you have before you on the screen is the image of God the Father, His creating hands, creating all things. What the Bible tells us is all things on earth are His, that He gives us the world and everything that fills it. God indeed has created everything, and out of His goodness and out of His love for us, He provides for us everything we need to support our body and life. God is good and gracious and loving. God blesses us with everything He knows we need. And because He blesses us with so much, God knows that it's important that He talk with us about how we use what it is He's given us. You know, somebody's counted up, and I don't know who or how, that Jesus taught more about money than any other single subject throughout the Gospels. And the reason that Jesus taught so much about money or things is because He knows we need to hear it to keep things in the right priority and the right perspective. Jesus doesn't need to talk about us giving and us using what we have for His sake, but He does it for our sake. In Luke chapter 12, if you look at the very first verse, if you've got your Bibles open, Jesus said that a crowd gathered there. There were thousands of people that were gathering over a period of time, so many that they were tripping over each other. And then Jesus began teaching, first with His own disciples, and then the multitudes who came. And basically in that first section of Luke chapter 12, Jesus speaks about people, His disciples, believers in Him, not being worried. Not being worried about earthly things, because God will take care of you. God knows your needs, and God supplies. There's a whole bunch there about hypocrisy and about other teachings, but it really comes back to God providing everything He knows we need. And it's in this context, finally, in our text, verse 13, that somebody in the crowd kind of calls out to Jesus. Can't you hear him? Rabbi, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus had just been talking about greed, about worry, about God giving all these blessings. And this man cries out, I don't have enough. I'm not getting a fair shake. My brother's cheating me. Teacher, rabbi, help me out with this. Jesus reminded him, and Jesus reminded the crowd, that it's not in the abundance of our things, it's not in the amount of stuff we have, that true wealth is found, but recognizing faith. Recognizing the blessing that God gives in the gift of Jesus, our Savior, and all the other stuff he gives us to support this body and life. To make his point, Jesus told a very familiar parable. I hope you remember that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In the earthly story that Jesus told to this man who was worried about stuff, worried about wealth, was the story about the rich and foolish farmer. Jesus said, there was a farmer who looked out on his fields, and you can see all the workers in the harvest field. That farmer saw that he was going to bear an abundant fruit, that because of the season, because of the weather, because of the right rainfall at the right time, because of all of these things, there was going to be a great harvest. And because of that, as he thought about what was happening next, he looked and he wondered, and I think maybe he worried a bit too. He looked at the orchards and the fields, the grapes and the beans, whatever else was growing in his fields, and he thought, what am I going to do? There is so much there, so much that's coming ripe and ready, and I'll need to be able to gather it in. The Bible doesn't tell us that in this story, but I have to think that this was a pretty wise farmer. He must have known what to plant and where to plant it, and how to care for it, and then he was fortunate that God provided the right amount of sunshine and the right amount of moisture so that everything would grow well, abundantly well, exceedingly well. And when the man thought of that, he said to himself, now what in the world am I going to do? I've got these old barns, and I love this barn. This barn is a lot like the one on my grandparents' farm in South Dakota, where there's the corn cribs on either side and you can drive the machinery into the middle, but not an awful lot of room for storage of corn. So the man thought to himself, what am I going to do? I don't have enough room to be able to hold everything that I know will be coming in. I know what I'll do, he said. I'll tear down this old barn and I'll build a much bigger barn, a huge barn, so that I'll be able to gather in everything that I have wisely planted and am ready to bring in. And then he could say to himself, listen, I can take life easy. With this kind of anticipated harvest, with this much stuff coming in, I can eat, drink, and be merry. I've got all I need, and this is going to last all the length of time I'll ever need it. Remember what Jesus said in the parable? God said to this foolish farmer, don't you realize that tonight your life will end? Your life will be required of you. And then whose stuff will all this be? I like the way the writer of Ecclesiastes said it in the Old Testament lesson. I toiled and I toiled and I worked, but it was meaningless because ultimately, what I gathered, what I toiled, what I worked for is going to go to somebody else who didn't work for it. Because they didn't work for it, they're not going to care for it well. They'll use it quickly and perhaps foolishly, and it's all meaningless. Jesus said about this foolish farmer, don't you know that you will have worked so hard, but none of it will be yours? Now, was he a bad farmer? No, I doubt it. I think, as a matter of fact, he was a wise farmer. But where he was foolish was in his relationship with God. You see, ultimately, he thought, I have done, I have planted, I have been wise, I will harvest, I will gather, it will be mine. And in the text, in the parable, there's nothing said about thanksgiving to God. He was wise in many ways. He was rich in things, but he was foolish in faith. Because while he did so many things well, he forgot to recognize and gave no indication that he thanked God for the weather, for the sunshine, for the rain, for causing the seeds to sprout and grow. All of this comes from the gracious hand of God. God was doing miracles, and this man saw none of it. So the question I would ask about this man's stuff is this question: did he own it, or did it own him? I think maybe the latter of the two. There was so much stuff that he looked at what was in his hands and what was overflowing and forgot to look up to the one who gave everything to him. Now, it's pretty easy for us this evening to sit in judgment at that man and say how foolish he was. But you have to realize that sometimes and often, I think, the finger points back at us too. I wonder what your life and mine often looks like. Look at some of these images. A car packed so full that you can't actually get people unless maybe it's just the driver in it. And at the bottom of the screen, a garage and maybe a basement so full of stuff. And look at the refrigerator in the upper right corner, so filled that you can't hardly put one more thing in it. One of the most popular shows these days is The Hoarders. You know, those people who gather and gather and gather, even junk and garbage, and can't get rid of anything. I'm not looking at anybody in particular, nor do I want you to look at me in that same way. But doesn't this often represent our lives? There is so much stuff. God has given us so much. We're blessed with so much that we sometimes fail to recognize how rich we truly are. There's a website I draw to your attention, and you can go to that website and plug in your annual income. Just for the sake of discussion tonight, this one plugged in an annual income of $50,000. Now, many families in our church have that sort of an income, or greater than that, in one income or maybe two income families. So that's not at all an unreasonable amount to talk about. When you plug that amount into this website, what it actually shows us is that an individual or a family with $50,000 income is one of the richest people in the whole world. This shows us that an individual or a family with $50,000 income is in the top one-third of 1% of people in all the world. A person with $50,000 income is the 18 millionth richest person in all the world, out of 7.5 billion people. We often think to ourselves, well, I'm not rich. I just have enough. And sometimes I even want more than what I have. But compared to all the world, you and I truly are rich. We can go where we want. We travel where we want. We eat what we want. We live in comfortable homes. We're rich in comparison with all the world. That's not a bad thing, if we recognize that God gives it all. The question is, do we look at all the abundance of our things and think, you know, I've planned, I've worked hard for this, I've done a good job, it's mine, I deserve it. If we do, we run the risk of being like this foolish farmer, thinking that it all depends on us when it's all given by the gracious hand of God. And while we ask the question of the foolish farmer, how about that question with us? What about all our stuff? I think the question for us tonight, too, is the same. That is, do you own it, or does it own you? I don't know if you've heard this illustration before, but in some of the third world countries where individuals gather and want to be able to capture monkeys, the way they do that is what you see this young man doing. They take a gourd and hollow it out and make just a small opening in the gourd. And what they do then is that they fasten that gourd to a tree and place in it just a little bit of food. And then they go away and come back later on. What will often happen is that the monkey will smell the food and then reach into that gourd with its little hand through that little hole to grasp the food. And when they grasp the food, their fist becomes just large enough so they can't pull it out of the gourd. And they're caught until they come by and grab the monkeys and capture them. Then they're sold or butchered and eaten. And if that little monkey, the stupid thing, had only opened its hand back up and let the food go, it could have easily withdrawn its hand. We think, how foolish. If only it had opened its hand, it would have been free and alive. Does it remind you sometimes of us? You see, what we do is we grab those things that we want or we think we need or we think belong to us, and we want to hold them so tightly that we're captured by them. And our lives are in peril. We become foolish in things of faith because we've been given so much. Tonight, I would remind you, and I am reminded too, that Jesus Christ, our Savior, died for us. He opened His hand and He gave Himself. He opened His hands so that they could be nailed to the tree, to the cross, for your forgiveness and mine. When we think it belongs to us, when we deserve it, we want it, we need it, we covet it, He died to forgive us and to help us to open our hands, to recognize that everything comes from the good and gracious hand of God, to be truly thankful as we possess things and use them to His glory. God calls us tonight to be rich toward God. And I think what that means is these three things. First, if we're to be rich toward God, we recognize that everything belongs to Him. Everything comes from our good and gracious God's abundant and loving hands. Secondly, if we would be rich toward God, we have faith and trust in God, not our 403b plan, not our savings, not our checking account. Those are gifts from Him, but our trust is in not those things that we can gather for ourselves, but our trust is in Him who gives us all things. That's the right place for our trust to be. And finally, thirdly tonight, God wants us to be rich toward Him as we use wisely, give generously, and joyfully from what He's given to us. It really is true, and I want you to know, there are hundreds of people who are members of our congregation who give nothing to the Lord through the church in a year's time. There are some from our congregation, there are even many, who've not yet chosen to participate in our strengthening the saved and reaching the lost. And my question for those, for maybe some of us, is what have we grabbed on so tightly to that it captures us, it owns us, instead of us owning it? May God help you to recognize tonight that He gave Jesus for you. And if He gives Jesus, will He not also with Him give us all things, including the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life? Everything we have comes from the gracious hand of God. Use it wisely and well to His glory and honor and to the benefit of those around you. And then you will not only be rich in things, but you'll be wise in faith. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Savior, our Lord. Amen.